I also want to talk about the movie that we just recently watched, Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also brought up some interesting questions about time.
Mm.
I think the movie was about time and yeah. how we spend our time.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't want to spoil too much of it, but I guess spoiler alert if I do.
Yeah.
The movie is essentially about a woman whose sister gets into a car accident and dies.
Mm-hmm.
She then has to adopt her sister's kid. And this woman's job is to make toys for this huge toy company. And she makes this toy called Megan. And Megan is essentially a friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's emotionally intelligent. She's fun. She also learns the kid.
Mm-hmm.
The more time she spends with the kid, the more she learns what the kid needs and mm-hmm. is able to meet her needs. So Megan is this robot that is essentially a best friend,
mm-hmm.
a teacher, a mother, a protector, a therapist. She's so many things. And what this woman realizes is that, well, I don't even really need to be a mother if Megan can just be a mother for me, which leaves me with more time to do other things.
Right.
And those other things just end up being capitalism.
Hey, that this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you're not a different person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Continue.
And it's really interesting, too, because there's a social worker who talks about attachment theory in the movie.
Yeah.
And she pulls aside this woman and she says, listen, I get that you made this really cool new toy for this kid, Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And this new toy seems to be a lot of fun for Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems to be really attached to her. But the thing about attachment theory is that the first thing that you attach to as mm-hmm. a kid, if your parents aren't there, or if your parents are emotionally absent, is whatever else is there,
mm-hmm.
which could be friends, or it could be a gang, or it could be a creepy old guy in your neighborhood, or it could be this AI, mm-hmm. it could be Megan.
Right.
And it kind of looks like this kid is growing really attached,
mm-hmm.
like on a provider
mm-hmm.
level
mm-hmm.
to Megan. And she's like, so what's the problem? Yeah, let her get attached. And you realize how the more and more this kid gets attached to Megan,
mm-hmm.
the more she's unable to just do the more anxious she gets, the mm-hmm. more angry she becomes, the more because the more she's deep, it becomes a drug.
Right.
And that is what I find interesting about this new AI revolution.
Mm-hmm.
To what extent will it just mimic what Instagram was to us, which right. just ended up being a drug that we all got really anxiously attached to
mm-hmm.
because our iPads and our phones were given to us because our moms were too busy to be there with us.
Mm-hmm.
So instead we formed attachments to these phones, to these platforms,
mm-hmm.
to these algorithms. And they fucked us because right. they could never give us what our brains actually need,
right.
which is security and stability mm-hmm. and assurance and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that AI could ever give us that, knowing that it's going to replace a lot of things in our lives
mm-hmm.
and knowing that we're going to get really attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it can ever provide us with anything substantive.
Right.
And if it can't do that, it's inherently a poison. Do you believe that AI is sentient?
Well, you know...
Or conscious. Let me use another word. Do you believe that AI is conscious? Because...
I think what's really terrifying
is
that as humans, we've never really come up with a solid definition of consciousness. The AI that is being experimented on right now and is kind of in this insane revolutionary period
yeah.
are predictive learning models,
yeah.
which are essentially you feed the AI four words and it gets better and better at predicting the fifth.
Yeah.
When you look at how children learn language,
mm-hmm.
Noam Chomsky did a lot of studies on this, the language acquisition device. That is the same model that we use. Children
yeah.
hear a bunch of words. They hear adults speak, say sentences, be expressive, and they learn to predict based on all of this information that they take
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
So I think that we don't really know the origins of sentience and of consciousness. And by creating these really advanced predictive models, we may have gave them all of the raw materials to become sentient, mm-hmm. because we never really quite learned what allowed us to become sentient.
Well, let's think about it.
Are predictive learning models.
Yeah.
They become sentient.
Yeah.
So well, I think they already have all of the raw ingredients for sentience.
I don't know.
Why do you say that?
Let's talk about consciousness for a second. Most of our decisions and our behaviors and just most of like being a human exists on the unconscious level. Like mm-hmm. just on a we breathe unconsciously, we walk. Like this, most things that you do throughout your day, you don't do with conscious awareness.
Yeah.
So my definition of consciousness is just awareness. Mm-hmm. Like the extent to which you are aware of mm-hmm. your existence. And I don't think humans even are conscious because we spend most of our lives existing with no awareness at all, with no conscious awareness of anything that we're doing. We don't breathe with conscious awareness. We don't talk with conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't think about why they do anything. There is no awareness at all. There is no conscious, deliberate thought and awareness mm-hmm. attached to our actions and where we're going as a society. So I believe in consciousness. I don't think humans are conscious,
mm-hmm.
but I think in order to be a conscious being, you have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that AI is aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't know that either of us know where awareness comes from.
Define awareness, because I could argue that AI will be aware in ways that we could never be, mm. because it will be more self-aware than we would ever be able to be,
mm.
because it's taking in more data than us. Think about how easily humans are clouded by dumbass anecdotal bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like someone like Andrew Tate being like, women can't drive. And then someone being like, okay, well, here's data on like how like women are objectively better
yeah.
drivers.
Yeah.
Literally by the people that take in more data on women driving than anyone,
yeah. Yeah.
which are insurance companies.
Yeah.
And then you like confront them with that information and they're just like, oh, well, I've seen two women crash cars. And then yeah. they don't. Humanity is just so disappointingly limited. What AI has is an awareness of everything. AI could never be misogynistic and say that women can't drive because of some because it would go online, study all of the data on car accidents, and actually see that women are better drivers.
Isn't that
more aware? Isn't that more self-aware than like any man could ever be? Wouldn't that like allow it to transcend to a level of awareness that we can't even get to? Because it couldn't be unreasonably prejudiced?
Mm. I hear that. And like you said, humans are machine learning robots.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains are just computers that grow in relation to our environment, that develop in relation to our environment. So our brains are in a constant interplay, mm-hmm. our brains and our bodies between us and the environment, constantly communicating, making changes to adapt around the environment. AI is the same because mm-hmm. that's what machine learning is.
Mm-hmm.
And we clearly created AI in our image. We've created the brain of AI in mm-hmm. the image of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think knowing that we've created AI in our image and we are not conscious beings.
I guess then they can't.
They simply couldn't be.
No, but they're going to be better
than us. We just could not be. They're going to be just like us.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We actually kind of didn't create it in our image. Created it. You know, a lot of the things that we view as gifts, a lot of us could view as flaws, right? So AI does not have emotion. It has the ability to understand emotion, but it doesn't have it.
Does anyone have emotion when you're not aware? Like,
My point
you know
is
what
like,
I mean?
you
can't control your emotions, do you have them?
Right.
Could you look me in the eye and say that I experience the emotion of anger?
Well,
if it's an emotion that happens to you, you have no control over it.
I get what you're saying.
You don't even know how to respond to it, react to it. Do you have that emotion, or is that emotion happening to you?
I get it. But you're making kind of like a philosophical point here of like the examined life is less of a life. But I'm making like a real neurochemical point of like even someone who isn't self-aware has norepinephrine, has dopamine, has estrogen, has testosterone. They still do feel things. They feel horny. They feel jealous. They feel excited. They feel sad. They still feel all of these things. Their awareness of it is another thing. My point is that emotions might be tragic mistakes. They may actually not have any objective worth in society.
They do. Emotion is the seat of cognition. It really is.
Sure, we have emotions, but we did slavery and the Holocaust, and we did a lot of bad.
I get, but if you want the existence of a light bulb, if you want to fly in an airplane, you need emotion.
Well, the AI disproves that. AI disproves that.
No, it's because it's because of how we perceive what emotion. Emotion is just as much learned as it is in AI. Like, our emotions are not pre-programmed into our brains. Mm-hmm. They're things that we learn to understand and that we learn to express and that we learn by watching other people's emotions. Yeah. And AI doesn't have any emotions pre-programmed into them. Mm-hmm. They learn what emotion is by responding to emotion and reacting to emotion. And so in that way, they are also made in our image. Mm-hmm. They also never had emotion pre-programmed into their brains. They also had to learn what emotion is by interacting with it, by engaging with it. Mm-hmm. So they have as much emotion as us. Mm-hmm. And the amount of emotion we have does not allow us to access where awareness comes from. The question of where does awareness come from is the question of who is God and where is this person? Mm. Where is that? It's the same question. Why are we here? Who is God? Mm. Where is God? Mm. How did he get us? That's the answer to where does awareness come from? Mm-hmm. And until we have the tools to grasp that, neither will AI.
Okay.
And they will be as unconscious as us. They will just be they'll be a cartoonish version of us, but they'll never be better than us because they were made. And this is also how I feel about like our God. I don't think that nigga's better than us. Mm. I don't think that nigga has more information than us. No, God is also out here in these streets experiencing the same emotions as us, experiencing the same confusion and existential crisis. God has the same questions that we do. And God is clearly trying to answer these questions through us in the same way that we are trying to answer these questions through AI. Mm-hmm. And AI will then create their own AI trying to answer those questions. Right. And that AI will create their own AI in an attempt to, and we'll just keep doing that indefinitely. Right. And that's all that life is.
Yeah.
It's a search for meaning that we will never find.
Speaking of that, there's this movie called Prometheus about these humans who discover that like transpermutation is real, which basically just means that the idea that aliens seeded life on this planet. Mm. And they find all of these cave drawings all across the world that point to this planet where the aliens that created us are from. Mm. This is like an advanced civilization in like the year 3000 or something.
Yeah.
They have these robots, really lifelike humanoid robots that are just as good as humans. Mm. So they take the robot and some humans, and they go in a ship to pursue the answer of their God, right?
Yeah, of like, who is God?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's this great scene where Benedict Cumberbatch is playing one of the robots. And he asks the human, what is it that you expect to find when you meet your maker? Mm. And the human goes, well, I want to know why. Why did they make us? Mm. And then the robot looks at the human and he goes, well, why did you make me? Mm. And then the human just goes, well, because we could.
Mm. And that's all it was.
And then the robot goes, well, why would you expect your answer to be any different?
Yeah.
And I think that like we really shouldn't be too caught up in the answers to these things because they're going to be disappointing.
If what you're saying
is right,
and
like as above, so below, then the answer is truly going to be just about as good as any answer you've ever had.
Yeah.
And how's that? You know?
Yeah. Awareness comes from nothingness. Mm. It's from nothingness that we all came from.
Right.
Just nothingness.
Right.
Nothing crazy.
It's, yeah.
It's nothingness.
The answer is not like it's a pink elephant.
Yeah, it's probably nothing. It's the great, big, infinite nothing. And nothingness is so insane that it is, it's such a banal answer that it's actually profound.
Yeah, things happen because they can.
Yeah.
And like, that's really as deep as it gets.
Where does something come from? Out of nothingness.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the answer.
No, we may already have all the big answers.
We have all the answers. Yeah. The answer is that we came out of nothingness for no particular reason. And we strive on raging against nothingness, demanding answers. And she cannot answer us because she's nothing.
Yeah.
She's so profoundly nothing.
Yeah.
Nothingness it's so nothing that we actually cannot cope with how nothing it is.
Right.
It's so devoid of anything, we couldn't cope.
Well, humans
like
create.
Like when we stare into the black void, it's there's nothing in there.
Right. And that's why humans create stories to cope.
Yes. To fill up the nothingness with something. Mm-hmm. But something will not save you from nothingness. and that's my only take on AI.
Yeah.
Something will never be as big as nothingness because nothingness is infinite and it's all that there is. Mm. And you will never, you can. Cannot, don't fight with nothingness.
Yeah.
She's your friend. Mm-hmm. Just go with it.
Fam. Yeah.
Don't ask her questions. She's not really there because she's nothing.
Yeah.
So just exist alongside nothingness.
Yeah. Well, now that we've dumped a whole metric ton of existential dread on our audience while they're on their way to work, or maybe they're trying to relax at home. Maybe they thought it was a dating episode. I don't know. But now that we've dumped this truckload of existential dread on our audience.
Isn't it comforting?
No, I love it.
To know that we came out of nothing.
Yeah.
And from nothing, we shall return.
Yeah.
That's where you're not going to hell. Listen, at the end of your life, there will be no clipboard.
Yeah.
No one is going to judge you.
Yeah.
You're just going back to nothingness.
Yeah.
Nothing was ever that deep. Yeah. It was nothing mattered because we're all going back to nothing. You came out of nothingness and you're going back to her.
Yeah.
And so nothing, it's fine. Mm-hmm.
My favorite.
It's actually fine.
One of my favorite episodes of The Sopranos, it's where Tony Soprano's mom is talking to his son and she's really sick in the hospital. And his son is asking her like, Grandma, what happens when we die? And she's like, it's all nothing.
Yeah.
It's all black. There's nothing there. It's a big nothing. And it like freaks him out so. But she's fucking right. It's big nothing.
It's scary at first to recognize that it's there's nothing. But then you recognize how freeing that is because there's nothing.
Yeah.
Yo, there's really nothing out there.
Yeah.
Like there's
and because
you
there's
can
nothing.
Do whatever.
There's so much beauty on the other end of nihilism. You know,
the
idea that life has no inherent meaning gives it so much meaning.
So much.
You know, I think that people view this as like really heavy and dark. But to me, it's like, what an opportunity.
Yeah. How could nothingness be heavy? It's not even there. It's not even there.
Right. But like, what a tremendous opportunity. Wouldn't it be so fucking terrifying if you found out that like God is real, the Ten Commandments are fully legit, and like because you're gay, you're just gonna go to hell. Wouldn't that be so scary if we found out like there's a nigga with a clipboard watching
right now,
you masturbate every night,
watching you be gay, just being like gay?
Isn't that so much worse? Wouldn't that be so much
like,
worse?
You guys would all, if God is real, you're all fucked. So trust me.
It's so much better that it's nothing.
Nothing is so chill.
Yeah.
What I love about nothing.
He's not homophobic.
What I love about nothing, that bitch is so freeing. She's like, bitch, do you.
Mm-hmm.
That's her only ideology. Mm-hmm. Nothing. She's like, nah, do you.
And by the way, like,
I don't care.
I don't know if I fully believe this. I don't know if I believe that there isn't anything after death. I don't know. I'm very agnostic in that way.
Yeah.
And I like find a lot of meaning in what other people think happens after death.
What do you mean?
You know, fundamentally, a lot of ideas of reincarnation make sense to me on a physical level because energy can't be destroyed. And I do think consciousness could be this physical energy that we don't really understand yet.
Yeah.
So if consciousness harnesses so much power, maybe it operates like other things in the universe. And you can't actually die.
Wow.
You know? Consciousness is something like gravity or like light or like where it's like it just can't be destroyed.
Well, you know, that would make sense because...
Thank you for listening to the first half of this conversation. If you're interested in listening to the rest of this conversation, you will find it on Patreon. So please support my Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/bobosvoid, or you can just click on the link in the description box below. If you enjoyed this conversation, I'll be having so many more of these types of conversation with different friends, with different strangers, with all types of interesting people, and sometimes just conversing with myself. If you are interested in philosophy, politics, race, all the things, I'll be hosting all the conversations on my Patreon. So patreon.com/bobosvoid, or just click on the description box below and support me. Thank you.